at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we're coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and it's done in a fun, upbeat, improv style. We'll provide you with tips, advice, resource information on how you can pursue a career in show business. And we have tons of guests that work in various professions of the entertainment industry. So that means that we will definitely have someone from a career that you are interested in. Now, if you want to know who will be on our show in the future, you can visit our official Question Reality website. And that address is questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us for United States. Yay! If you want to check out any of our past guests, read their brief bios and listen directly or download any of the shows, you can do that by going to the top. If you're on the LA Talk Radio website right now, because you're listening to me, up at the top, you will see the Schedule 1 link. And you click on that at the top of the LA Talk Radio website, and you look for our show, Question Reality, in the time slot of Sunday at 5, and then you click on the link. And that'll take you directly to our archive page where you can peruse at your own leisure. As you see, I have had Emmy Award-winning guests. I've had Tony Award-winning guests. You name it. I have had casting directors, directors, producers, models, musicians, anybody who's anybody in show business. I have a career that you are pursuing. So hopefully, and then if there's a career that you actually want to know more about, feel free to email us at info@questionreality.us, info@questionreality.us. A lot of people have been sending me in emails wanting to know more about the behind the scenes jobs. And I love that because I've been wanting to do that particular type of show for a while now. And I think that's what we're going to do next year. We're going to focus on doing maybe a whole year of behind the scenes stuff like script supervisors, production assistants, because a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, they come out here, they want to be a star. And if it doesn't work out, that doesn't mean that you have to go back home to Ohio or wherever you're from. You can work in the business in a very rewarding career doing something else. So that's what we're going to focus on hopefully next year. So again, Question Reality in the time slot of Sunday at 5. Click on the link, take you to the archive page. You can also download us from the podcast section of iTunes. We are on iTunes. And very exciting, we are coming out with our own application. Our LA Talk Radio will be having its own little application on the iPhone. And again, I'm not computer literate, but this is the lowdown that I hear. And I will let you know as soon as I know from the big man on campus who owns the radio station. But that is very exciting. You'll be able to just push a button and there we are. We'd love for you to call in and ask questions and provide comments for any of our guests on the show if you want to do that. But we ask that you call in between 5:20 and 5:30. And we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. And the number should be right in front of you right now if you are listening to us on Channel 1. It's area code 323-203-0815. And we are going to get to our guest. We have a fantastic guest for you today. Damian Dietz, he is a filmmaker, and we're going to talk to him briefly. Very exciting guy. They're working on exciting projects, and he is here to tell you about not only himself, but he's also going to give you guys tips and advice on how you can pursue a career in filmmaking. So first, I want to tell you about some exciting little things happening 21st, the Group Rep Theater Fundraiser will be presenting Yarmy's Army. Yarmy's Army is a troupe of veteran stand-up comedians. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to see some of the funniest and most popular comedians of TV and film. They're going to include Shelley Berman, Sam Denoff, Pat Harrington Jr., Steve Landisberg, Jim McGeorge, Peter Marshall, yay, Jack Riley, and Howard Storm. And the group of comedians, Yarmy's Army, just to give you a little detail, they were named after the late actor comic Dick Yarmy, who was the brother of Don Adams. Remember Get Smart? And it was formed by his comedian pals in 1995 to honor him and also to raise money for performers who may be in need of financial help. And the group is donating their time and their talent for this very special group rep fundraiser. So please come out. Again, they'll be performing one night only, April 21st, 7:30 p.m., and the benefit is for the group rep at the Lonnie Chapman Theater in North Hollywood. There's going to be a reception afterwards in which they'll be participating. The theater is located, the group rep theater is located at the Lonnie Chapman Theater, which is 10900 Burbank Boulevard in North Hollywood. And you can get tickets now. They're still on sale by visiting the websites theatermania.com or lastagealliance.com. If you want to call 323-822-7898. And the tickets are only $30, which is a steal. The seating is limited, so pre-purchase your tickets. It's highly recommended. So very exciting. Can't wait for that. Now, on Saturday, April 24th, oh my gosh. Now, if you love jazz and blues, R&B, the Government Amphitheater in Las Vegas is presenting the Las Vegas City of Lights Jazz and R&B Festival. It's now in its 18th year, extremely popular. They had to go to a bigger venue. They've updated it. It's totally super modern. Tickets are on sale right now. So if you want to hear lots of great jazz and blues, R&B guys that are top line, you want to call 1-800-969-VEGAS, 1-800-969-VEGAS, or you can visit the website yourjazz.com, yourjazz.com. And if you didn't catch that, you can play this performance tomorrow anytime after 5 o'clock and re-listen to the show all over again to get that information. Now, for those of you who love your mothers, there is a hot happening Mother's Day champagne brunch Sunday, May 9th from 11 to 3:30. I don't know if you've ever been to this place, but they have fantastic jazz and blues. It's at the Crown Plaza Los Angeles Airport Hotel. It's at 5985 West Century Boulevard. And they're going to have, for the Mother's Day lunch brunch, they're going to have a ton of acclaimed jazz and blues vocalists, specifically highlighting the Sherwood Sledge Trio, which is a very hot band right now. It's only $38, which is a steal because that not only includes the meal, but wait till you hear this, the tax, the gratuity, and valet parking is included. Now, that is a deal. And I don't know if you're familiar with that menu over there, but as a person who loves to chow down on some good food, honey, let me tell you, they have got some activity going on that day. They're going to have honey roasted carved Virginia ham. They've got all the shrimp you can eat, crab claws. They got a sushi bar. They got salmon, chicken breasts, ratatouille. Oh my God, just looking at the menu, I am already in ecstasy. And the dessert menu, oh my God. So mother will be loving that. Definitely. That is a place to consider for Mother's Day. And lastly, I just wanted to tell you about this. On June 4th to July 17th, the group rep at the Lonnie Chapman Theater, they're going to have an updated version of Baby, which is the musical with the music by David Shire and the lyrics by Richard Maltby Jr. and the book, of course, by Sybil Pearson. And it's based on a true story. And it's by Susan Yankowitz. And it's directed and choreographed by Kate Kaplan. And again, it opens June 4th and it runs Friday and Saturday at 8 and then Sunday at 2, Lonnie Chapman Theater, 10900 Burbank Boulevard in North Hollywood. Tickets are only $22. They have discounts for senior students, groups. Check out thegrouprep.com. And if you're not familiar with the show, just really briefly, it's just a charming, memorable musical which involves three couples who explore their feelings in light of their newly expectant parenthood. So any of you little pregnant people out there, this is a nice little play for you to see. So there you go. Some exciting events happening. And now we get to the exciting part of the show. Our guest, who we have been waiting for, Damian Dietz. Now, let me tell you a little bit, and I hope I get it right. If not, he can correct me. But from what I hear, he is an award-winning writer and film director and a graduate of the School of Cinematic Arts at USC. Yay! One of our more prestigious schools. And Dietz's debut feature film, Fag Hag, was released in 1998. It's a politically incorrect, low-budget satire from Trauma Entertainment. And it was described as a punk underground trash cinema classic by the New York Post. That's good, right? And a savagely funny, deranged comedy of manners by the Chicago Tribune. And lastly, rollicking, trashy, and clever by Variety. So those are pretty good. I say two thumbs up for those comments. And the film stars Dietz and also Stephanie Orff and features Will Wheaton. You know Will Wheaton, who was one of the stars of Stand By Me and one of my and my husband's favorite shows, Star Trek The Next Generation. And he was one of our favorites. And of course, a handsome little guy. And Dietz's most recent film is, from what I understand, hopefully I'm right, is Going Maverick, the Sarah Palin movie. Now, when I heard that, I fell out. And I just can't wait to see it. I have not seen it yet, but I cannot wait. It's a satirical feature-length film starring an array of, are you ready for this? Dildo puppets impersonating such notables as President Obama, Senator John McCain, and of course, Palin, and voiced by American comedian, writer, and radio talk show host Sarah Benincasa, and whose Sarah Palin vlogs have become a viral sensation on YouTube and the Huffington Post last year. So it was also notably featured on Comedy Central and Daily Kos or Kos. I'm not familiar with that particular show. So without further ado, I wish I had some drums to beat for a proper intro, but I'm just going to have to go, Damian Dietz, are you there, Damian?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I can. I hear you. I hope we don't get cut off, but so far so good. How'd you like that little intro? Was I accurate? Did Stephen give us the right information?
Yeah, I mean, it was accurate, I think. I mean, you know, I would have liked the drums, but you're a little...
Damn it, I'm going to definitely get some drums. I'm going to have Ronan do a drum beat for us. That's it. That's going to be in from now on. Now, Damian, yeah. I want to, first of all, thank you so much for being here. And I always like to start off with this question because so many people like to know where it began, where the adventure of life happened for Damian Dietz. So my question is, when and how did you first know you wanted to be a filmmaker? Is that the first career you thought of as a young child that you wanted to pursue? Tell us all about it from the beginning.
True story. One of my very first memories was being in a kindergarten or first grade, and they had a toy box, and one of them was like a Fisher-Price camera, and I always gravitated toward it, and I would direct little plays at my school. And then, of course, it went on from there and there and there, and I went to film school at USC, and it's just something I knew I always wanted to do. So.
Wow. So from the very beginning, you grabbed a Fisher-Price camera, and so you are one of the lucky people that always knew that he wanted to be a filmmaker.
I did always know.
Huh?
Yeah, and I did always know, and it was I'm thankful for that because I know that not everybody does, you know. So
exactly. Yeah, that's one of That is one of the main problems that I hear about a lot, that a lot of people wait too late in life, or they're not sure, they don't really know what the clues were, and they kind of blame their lack of success at a certain age because they did not know. So let me ask you, what do you feel are some of the clues that you could give a person, not a child, because I don't think we have any children listening to my show, but maybe a younger person, what are some of the clues that they could look for that would make them think, you know what, maybe I want to become a filmmaker, if they're not sure?
Well, that's actually really simple, because what you just do is you just pay attention to the clues. They're usually right in front of you. And what happens is, whenever you're feeling the most happy and the most like yourself, then that's exactly what you should be doing on this planet.
That's interesting, because I run into a lot of people in this business who are confused between wanting to be an actor, a director, a producer. And
right.
It's not. It's like, well, a lot of them say to me, well, how, and these are young kids, you know, experimenting. And they say to me, well, how do I know? I love acting, but I like being behind the camera, but I like being in charge of it too. So what's your advice for those people who like to do all three and can't really figure out if they want to focus on just directing?
Well, here's how you figure out. You just say to yourself, why do I want to be an actor? Or why do I want to be a director? And then in that answer is your revelation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people will say, oh, I want to be an actor because I want to be on the cover of Us Weekly. Mm-hmm. And then you go in and then you make that your life's goal. But you would want to know why you want to be on the cover of Us Weekly, because that will kind of inform, you know, what you're doing and why.
Now, do you believe, it's interesting that you said that, because a lot of people do choose the entertainment business because they do want fame and fortune, and there are people who choose it because they really, really love the art of creating entertainment. How do you really know if you are in the business just because you want fame and fortune, yet you tell everybody you love the craft? And how do you know when you really want fame and fortune, but you swear, I only love the craft? You know, because everybody wants to claim that, but it's not always true.
Well, I don't think it has to be either or. I think you can love the craft, and I think you can want fame and fortune, and I think that's okay. But very often, it seems like, you know, people tell you it has to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, I like going to a film festival and having people, you know, pay attention to me and say good job. I mean, I'm like any other human who wants to hear good job.
Mm-hmm.
I like money. I like making money. And I also like art.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all of those.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. There's some wind blowing out of it. I don't know. I just a wind blowing. Okay, so I have a lot of people. I don't know if you run into these types of people, but a lot of people have opinions about people getting involved in the entertainment business, and they say, well, if they're in it just to be superstars just for the fame and fortune, they're not going to make it too far, and they may only have 15 minutes of fame. Do you feel that the people who are just getting into this business to be stars just for the money and the fame, do you think that they have a very short lifespan in this business as opposed to the people who really love the art and will do more of the suffering and sacrificing with the studying? Or do you not feel that that's relevant?
I don't think that's relevant. I think the thing is this, is it just depends on how strong your drive is to want to be famous. I mean, there are some people like Madonna who has, you know, I mean, I like Madonna, okay, but she really has a modicum of talent if you think about it, but her drive to be a rich, famous, successful, and known is persistent, and therefore she achieves that. And I don't cast any aspersions on that or any moral judgment. That's just what she chose. It's not necessarily what I would choose, but some people do, and I think that if they want to be famous and that's their goal, then they can go and do that, and if they are able to keep up that drive and desire, well, then it could last as long as they will it to.
Because there are certainly people out there that are famous that don't necessarily have what
uh-huh.
we
there's a lot of There's a ton of them.
Yeah, there is. So what do you think? So you think
with
that
reality TV? I mean, that's just like the dumping ground for that.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. I like that because nowadays you actually don't have to have any talent. You want to be a star? Just get yourself on a reality television show. This is
and Priscilla. There's nothing wrong with that. Everyone thinks there's something wrong with that. If that's what you want as a human being on this planet, then go do that. Now, personally, I know where that leads, but you know that's not for. I'm not here to make any judgments on them. If their goal is to to do that and have a camera pointed at them, then they should do that and find out what that brings them.
Exactly, and who knows if you may discover you really do have talent and that's other than like the American Idol shows. I mean, I'm a huge reality. Oh my God, reality shows are like my life. I love them. So I am all about the shortcuts to fame if you have the talent because come on, there are people who not everybody can afford. Or to go to a prestigious film school. Not everybody can afford to even go to film school. Some people actually are born with natural talent, as we have seen with many of our celebrities. And some of them didn't even go to any film school at all. Some of them barely finished high school. So
right.
It really can be an excellent venue, don't you agree, to maybe take some unorthodox ways of getting to your goal?
Yeah, there's a million roads that lead to Rome. I mean, it doesn't matter how you get there. If you come to your destiny, that's the important part. And some people are destined to be Academy Award winning actors, and some people are destined to not be.
Mm-hmm. So you use the word destined. So I assume that you believe in destiny and fate and things like that, correct?
Fate's kind of a tricky word because a lot of people think fate assumes that, nothing's up to you. I think really, without getting all secrety and law of attraction-y on you, but you really do, life is full of choices and every choice you make is what draws things to you in your life.
Now, this is interesting because I want to hear your thoughts on this. I have so many people who have been struggling and fighting and going to film. They've gone to film school. They've actually or if they've chosen the acting route, they've taken tons of acting classes. They've studied with some of the best people. And yet, consistently, they don't make it.
I know, of course.
So that takes us back to what you said earlier when you said that some people, if you try really hard and that's your goal and that's your goal, what if that's your goal and you try really hard but nothing really happens to you? How do you explain that? What do you think that – why do you think that is?
It's easy to explain because the thing is their goal was to try really hard and struggle. That was their goal.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-mm, but I like it. It sounds really deep,
You just said it. You just said, struggling for your art earlier in our conversation. And some people think that what you have to do. Some people feel like you have to try really hard and you have to struggle, and that's their goal, and so they do. It's funny.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. I'd like to branch out on that. I never thought about that. I think I'm having an epiphany right now. I think you've caused an epiphany. Yeah, because I never thought about that because so many people say, I don't know why. I have this friend. I mean, he does everything. Good-looking guy. Good-looking guy. He goes to all the acting workshops. He takes all the acting classes. He goes. I even got him an agent, one of the top agents in Beverly Hills. I hooked him up with the top agent. He goes out on auditions to some of the top casting directors like Rick Milligan, and cannot book a job. To see him, he's really good, and everybody says he's really good. What do you think's the problem?
Well, he doesn't want it.
But
you got him the agent. He made himself the agent. You got him the agent. He didn't make himself attractive. He was born attractive. I mean, if you think about, I don't know this person, but if I'm being really, really psychic with you, like he just nothing he's done has been of his own choosing.
Oh God, I love it. You should be sitting up on a mountain. You should.
I'll tell you something. I used to be a psychic friend for the I don't know if it was Psychic Friends Network, but so I'm really, really good at this.
Are you kidding?
No, I swear to God, it was one of my jobs in college. I got paid like $13 an hour to be a psychic on a hotline.
Get the hell out of here! Really? And what, did they just hire you because you said you were a psychic, or did you have to take a test and like guess stars behind cards or something?
No, it was an ad in the paper, and I just was called, and I was joking around with my friends, and I called, and they're like, do you have any psychic experience? And I said, I don't have any experience, I just am. And then they hired me right there. They sent me a little packet, and I installed another line in my place. And I did it for like 3 months, and then I started making movies or something. I don't know what happened.
Oh, my God. Now, see that? That is, I have never, ever heard that story before. That is one of the most unique, fascinating stories I have ever heard. And I will be kept. May I have permission to tell that to people?
Well, hopefully people are listening.
So well, I'm talking about people who are not listening. I want to tell. Yes, I will
want
be telling.
To listen to the show. We need to find out who doesn't listen to the show, and then
That's right. Well, you know what? I have another question. Now, let's talk about parents. Were your parents always supportive of your career?
On the surface, yes.
I see. Well, surface is better than nothing.
Well, no, here's the deal. All parents are the same. Yeah. All parents are, you know, supportive or not. Really, all parents are ultimately not supportive. It's just the nature of being a parent. And I'll tell you why, and this is not a negative thing. Okay. They are not supportive because they are trying to protect their children. So what they do is they try to keep their children from going out into the world and experiencing all the hardships and turmoil that come with being your own, you know, human being out in the world. And so they in trying to protect their children from harm, they keep them small.
I like that. You know what I like about you? You're very definitive. You're very strong in your viewpoints. You say it, you mean it, you feel it, and there's no trepidation at all. It's like, this is it, this is how the world works, and there is no other answer. Okay,
it's
so let's move on.
Sure.
I like it. There's so many wishy-washy people. I love that. Woo!
That's the answer to that question. Why are these so many people not making it in this industry? Because they have one foot on the boat, one foot on the pier.
Yeah, it's true. And I guess there are so many factors involved. I mean, where you were born, your socioeconomic situation, da-da-da-da-da. And just everything around you really influences that. So, but you have 50% of the choice at birth. I believe all of our personalities are we're predisposed at 50% of our personalities at birth. I believe that. Now, my question to you also is, now, what advice, and then we're going to talk all about you, what advice do you have for people who want to pursue a career in filmmaking but don't have the financial means to attend a top-rated school such as you did? What do they do? How can they make it?
Well, it's easy now. I mean, you don't need money to be a filmmaker anymore. You don't. And you don't need to go to a film school. In fact, I didn't learn anything at USC. I mean, all USC film school was go make movies, and so I did. I mean, USC has a reputation, and of course, you know, that sounds phenomenal when Priscilla Leona is introducing me, but at the end of the day, it was just a place where they said, go make a movie, and so I did. And if someone wants to be a filmmaker, if they're saying, oh, I don't have the money or the means, or I can't go to a prestigious film school, then what they're doing is they're making excuses for why they won't. But when the fact of the matter is that anybody can, because technology is so accessible and affordable now.
Mm-hmm. What would be something, say they don't have a lot of money, would you recommend that, say somebody who wants to get started, they're young, because I have a lot of young people who listen to the show who are still going to school, what would you recommend, what kind of camera would they get, how would they start just shooting, getting their friends together, how would they go about it, just doing what? And
well,
submitting
with.
Do you recommend, like, they have a lot of contests. A lot of people send me questions. I've shot a lot of, I've written some scripts. These are high school kids. I've written some scripts. I got my friends involved. Where do I submit them?
Well, it depends on what it is that they did, you know, and when they did it, hopefully they did it for a very, very distinct reason, and then they can just put it out for that reason to that audience. So, for example, if you make a movie about, you know, an African-American kid, you know, who, you know, wins the Nobel Peace Prize or something, I don't know, then what you do is you can submit it to film festivals about that or take it to distributors who specialize in that. Or if you make a movie about, you know, the gays, then, you know, there's distributors and outlets and venues for that.
Yeah.
You know, everything's specialized, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So basically, they got to get out there and they got to do the research. They can't have rely on other people. And that's what I think I run into a lot is people want to be directors and producers and actors. And do you know what, Damien? They don't have a clue as to where to go and what to do. Even in today's technology, just going to Google, they don't even know how to put in search words. And I'm just absolutely amazed by that. I got people who want to be actors, yet they don't know, they've never watched Cheers, they've never watched Seinfeld, they've never watched sitcoms. I know people who want to be actors and they don't even know any names. They couldn't name 10 stars. I swear to God. Well,
Do you think they need to know how to do that?
Huh?
Do you think is that something you think that they need to know how to do if they want to be an actor? They should have watched those shows or...
Well, I think, personally, if you're asking me, I think in any business, if you want to pursue something, there should be an interest and a reason why you want to pursue it. And if you want to pursue something, then that means that you took an interest in it. And if you took an interest in it, therefore, that means you have experience in it. And if you have experience in it, that means that you've watched it, read it, or experienced it in some way. If you haven't, mm-hmm. then how the hell do you know that you wanted to pursue that career anyway? So, to me, it makes no sense for someone to say, I want to be an actor, but they can't name 10 stars.
Okay.
If you disagree, please tell me why, because I'm completely baffled at people who want to be actors and yet can't name, you know, any shows on television and haven't watched any of the, at least watched Lucille Ball.
I think that's an advantage. Personally, I think that's an advantage because then what they're doing, if they really want to be actors, it's something that's coming from within that is not informed by all the noise and mess of Hollywood. And then those are the people that usually walk into the auditions who are completely unique and completely fresh and not informed by popular culture.
But how do they know they wanted to be an actor if they haven't watched something that inspired them?
Because you know these things in your heart. I think, this is my belief, of course. You know, like, I was in kindergarten. How did I know? I hadn't gone to the movies yet. How did I know I wanted to make movies? I just knew.
Well, you had to have watched television.
Well, not when I was in kindergarten, I didn't. I was my parents just put me in a corner with, like, pots and some string, and that's...
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to...
There's a million perspectives. Mine is not... You know, mine is works for me. That's
my
experience. You know?
Exactly. Anyway. Yeah, because I'm telling you, I've never even heard of that. I just... When they tell me they haven't heard of this person and that person and they don't even know why, I'm like, okay, well, you know, good luck to you. You got to have some sort of inspiration and reasoning behind it. I don't know. Now, Damien, before we start talking to all about Damien, you are going to have the distinct honor of, I am going to put you and your USC skills on the spot if you don't mind. And also, this is exciting. You're going to be so excited about this. And it's what the reason is, if you don't mind. It's also to show our audience how the mind of a director works. This is real quick.
Great. Well,
and you're going into director mode right now. This might help somebody who might be thinking of pursuing a career in filmmaking but may not be sure if they can sort of think along these lines. Are you ready?
Well, not really, but go ahead.
Okay. And see, I think you're the type of person that loves challenges, so that's why I'm going to give it to you. Okay. If you were hired and required to shoot a scene in which a guy was shot, fell into a pool face down, and you wanted to just focus in on his hand with a fingertip barely touching a photo of a woman and having it encircled with his blood swirling around in a pool. It's a night scene with the pool lit. How would you shoot it? Would you consider using China balls to light it? And if so, how many and why?
Okay, well, this is what I would do. I would go to my DP and I would say, this is what you need to do. And then I would let him do it. And then I would go for cocktail.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I put in parentheses. He most likely will say, DP, figure it out. That is exactly what I put in parentheses on my notes here. Because you know why? I wanted to see what type of director you were. And this is to point out something. A lot of directors do nowadays rely on the DP to do all that. And it's smart and it's fast and it's efficient. But I wanted to know, say you didn't have a DP. Say we're way back in the day when you couldn't afford a DP. Say you're doing budget. You're like a kid just shooting it. What would you do if you had to be the director and the DP?
Well, I mean, honestly, Priscilla, I wouldn't, because I'm not a DP, and I never wanted to be, and I never was.
Okay. So if you're so being a director, you have a vision, you know how you want it shot, and you're just going
That's
to verbalize it to the DP, and you let that DP do that job.
Right, that's what the director does. Well, that's what I do as a director. And I mean, there are some directors who really want to be photographers or DPs, and there are some DPs who really want to be directors, and there are some script supervisors who want to be directors. I mean, but
exactly.
Very rarely find someone who is doing what it is they want to do. And as a director, to me, when you get on the set, you do very little on the set, because what you've done, hopefully, if you've done your job correctly or intuitively enough, is you understand the material that you're going to shoot, and every single person that you've hired, you've communicated the spirit and the intent of that piece. And then once you get down to the set, then you just allow the process to take place, and you allow the magic to happen, and it does.
Well, when we're at that level where we can afford a DP, that hopefully will happen.
You can get a DP for free. You can get a DP for free. I mean, there's, like you said, there are people listening to your show.
Yeah.
There are thousands and thousands of people who are dying to practice their art and practice their craft for nothing, and they will. They just want the opportunity to do it.
That's right. That's why you offer copy credited meals, directors, copy credited meals, producers.
Not copy anymore. Because of piracy, I pay everybody now, but back in the day when I was a younger man, I couldn't pay people, so it'd be copy credited meals, whatever. Although I always did try to pay people a little something, because I feel like everyone's valuable and they deserve some sort of remuneration, you know, real or imagined. But the thing is, I don't do copy anymore. I don't even give copies of the film to anybody involved, because piracy is such a big deal now. It ends up on the internet, and then there's no sales for your film.
Oh, my God. You know, that is an excellent point, people. I love that Damien just brought that up. That is very true. I mean, they can put it up on YouTube, no problem. Oh, my God. That is an excellent point. Excellent point. All right. No more copy credit meals. Just credited meals, and that's it. Now, Damien, let's talk about thank you so much for that. I mean, that is just a huge, huge point for people putting that on Craigslist, because I still do see those ads, copy credit meals. So that's very important. Damien pointed out, I don't think you should do that. Very, very good. Now, Damien, you have done so many projects. You have parodied pop culture, and you've dealt with characters sort of like, on the fringe, like Neverland. Now, you did that in 2003, and that was sort of like, what, a surreal kind of modern retelling of something? Tell us about that.
It was Peter Pan. To me, Peter Pan was an interesting story, because it kind of reflected a period of my life where, you know, I kind of didn't want to grow up in a lot of ways, and that means, becoming a man. So I thought, how interesting, because that's the definitive story about that is Peter Pan. So I thought in doing that story that I would successfully make the bridge from boy to man. And so I thought it would be interesting to do like a modern take on it, although I just kept a lot of the original dialogue and situations. I just put them in different places and tweaked the casting and just made it very, very, very strange. But to me, it really wasn't strange. It was more what the movie was sort of subtextually about anyway.
So. Now, if we wanted to see that, where would we find Neverland right now?
You can, well, because it was made in 2003, so you can Netflix it or go buy it on Amazon or
okay.
Anything like that.
All right, Netflix or Amazon. And then now you also did which Beverly Hills 90210 is one of my favorite shows, and I understand you did a film Beverly Kills.
Yeah, I did.
Was it Beverly Kills or just Beverly Kills 2005 instead
of called Beverly Kills.
Beverly Hills. And what was that, like a campy film? You know, what did you do with that?
Well, that was about Hollywood. That was about the time that I was coming to the realization that, you know, it's so great that you bring this up because this is what your show is about, people coming to Hollywood to make it. And, you know, make it is in quotes, of course. And what they end up doing is they end up willingly throwing themselves into this soul-destroying machinery. And so I've made a film about that, but, you know, that's such a hard thing to take, so I just made it really, really funny and twisted so people could take the message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I like that. Now, where can we find that?
Same thing. You can go, you know, Blockbuster. You can rent it at the store, Amazon or
Netflix. So that's Beverly Kills, and that also premiered at the Frameline Film Festival in San Francisco, and it was selected as the benefit film for the Human Rights Campaign, was it not?
No, I think that was another film I did called Love Life, which was a much more like kind of a serious film, but Beverly Kills played a bunch of festivals, and, you know, Love Life premiered at Frameline.
Well, see, that I'm going to recommend that one for everybody that was listening to the show and just kind of relate it coming to Hollywood, get Beverly Kills, because that sounds like something you definitely want to hear about. And then you also did Dog Tags, which is the picture that I chose to use in the email blast.
Okay.
Now, tell us about that.
That guy,
by the way, was hot. Was that you on the cover?
He was my alter ego. He's like the really super hot version of me, although, like, I'm really hot, but he's really hot.
Okay. I love it. Woo! Tell us about, that was a kind of a satire, right? And the Village Voice said some serious things about that. Tell us about it. It sounds exciting. I love it. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Dog Tags was actually really dramatic. It was probably one of my, but I think my first really well-conceived drama. It's like my favorite movie that I've done because it's the most personal story. It's about a Marine on leave who meets kind of like a sexually confused young man who's comes from a Hollywood background, and they develop like this intense bond, and then the young man helps the Marine find the father who abandoned him as a child.
I like that.
I love the movie. It's one of my favorites of mine.
And that has Academy Award nominee Candy Clark from American Graffiti and The Man Fell to Earth in it, right?
Yes, and she's awesome.
Phenomenal. I know. I'm familiar with her work. So if we wanted to check that out, would it also be Netflix and Amazon?
Yeah, Netflix and Amazon and Blockbuster and Hollywood Video and all that stuff. And also, because we were talking about piracy, really, if you really want to see it really bad, I mean, it's all, you know, you can, you know, steal any movie on the internet you want. So if you really have no money, just go steal it.
I have no idea how the heck you would steal it on the internet. Oh, I think my husband's a computer network administrator, so he actually can find any show there is. And he said, you got to type torrent, T-O-R-R-E-N-T. You type the name.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, all of my films have ended up on YouTube in parts at some point or another. So,
well, you know, that's a compliment, right? That's a compliment, Damien. You don't put crap on YouTube.
Yeah. I love it. It doesn't bother me. It's not like, in the beginning, you don't, piracy is a big deal. Before you release the movie, to me, piracy is a big deal. That's why you don't give a copy out. But once the movie's been out in circulation for a while, then it doesn't bother me because what it does is it builds awareness for the film, and then the people who like it end up buying it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
One of my last two questions, because it's 5:45, we got 5 minutes, but I wanted to know, how was it to work with the hottie Will Wheaton, and are you still in contact with him?
Yeah, Will and I are very good friends, and he's he was in Neverland as well, and he did one of my first feature, Faghag, and he's awesome.
Now, can I get an autograph picture? Would that be asking too much from my Damien Dietz to get me an autograph picture?
I can totally hook you up with an autograph picture of Will Wheaton. Are you kidding? Yes.
I'm going to count on it. I am going to Facebook you. You are on Facebook. Oh, by the way, I wanted to talk to you. I went to DamienDietz.com, and it's just one page. I was expecting, you know, your body to be splashed or at least something with your film. And the only place you're on is Wikipedia. What's up with that, Damien Dietz? You need to get a website, honey. How can I hook you up with a website? What's going on there?
I'm not a self-promoter.
Ah.
A little bit. I mean, like the Sarah Palin thing, like, you know, I did want to put that out a little bit and just kind of like, you know, tease people with it and see what level of interest there was. But I'm not into the spotlight. You know, the spotlight is not my thing.
Well, what's going on with the Sarah Palin movie? Is that taking off? What's happening with it?
I finished it up finally after, you know, threats and everything else. But it's going to, it'll be a successful market in May.
I can imagine her shaking her finger at you. Da, 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 da. Where will it be appearing?
I think the first time people can see it is at the Cannes Film Festival Short Film Corner. There's a film market. Mm-hmm. So we'll put it there for it's going to be there in May for buyers, and then usually that springboards into domestic festivals, international festivals, and like, you know, just sort of pre-release awareness.
Now, how the heck do you get a film into the Cannes Film Festival? Do you have to be asked, or you just submit, and if it's good, they choose it for real?
Oh, well, no, here's the deal. It's just the film market. It's not like I'm in competition with, you know, David Lynch or something. It's just the film market, and any distributor, you know, can position their film at the market. Mm. So it's not like some huge, phenomenal deal. It's not like I'm going to walk home with the Palme d'Or or something.
You're a funny guy, Damien Dietz. What, can I ask you a weird question? You might not be into this, but I totally love astrology. Can I ask what your sign is, and it's not a pickup line from the 70s?
Oh, now I'm disappointed, because I thought you were wrong.
Well,
am I not hot enough, like the guy on the cover?
I don't even know what you look like because you've hidden yourself. You're like this international man of mystery. I don't even know what you look like because the only thing I've seen was the cover of Neverland and then the cover of Dog Tags. And I went on Google and I'm typing your name and you are nowhere to be found. So it's almost like you don't really exist, or it's like that movie with Al Pacino where...
Exactly. Well, it's so conscious. Well, if you type my name into Google, like my name and my work is everywhere, but I'm nowhere to be found.
Exactly. Why?
Because.
What because is going when on?
When people take pictures of you, it steals your soul. I'm American.
Oh, my
Indian.
God. Yeah, that's an old Indian belief for sure. All right, that was a quick answer. I'm going to take that one. All right, well, I'll leave you alone about it. So I wonder, do you have a Facebook account? Are you on Facebook?
I was for like 5 seconds until I realized that Facebook goes against everything that I believe in as a human being. And so my name has an account, but I'm nobody can Facebook me.
You are so funny. What about MySpace?
Oh, no. Like I said, I have accounts for all of those, so people don't, like, take my name. But not that anyone cares. But, you know, and then what I do is I just don't put anything on it.
How does one get in touch with Damien Dietz to tell you how great you are? How do we give you, you know, when we see your films, how do we get in contact with you? How would one say, oh, Damien, I just watched Beverly Kills. I love it. How would they do that?
Well, when I get, you know, I get emails like that. I get, you know, all kinds of emails, actually. But my email's info@damiendietz.com.
Okay,
so that's how people find it. People type in Damien, they can find my email address, you know what I mean? Or an email address that reaches me. So.
Okay, so if you go to everybody, if you go to Damien Dietz, DamionDietz.com, I can tell you from experience, he does have an email address, just his name. That's the way he wants it, but he's going to have to come out one day and walk the red carpet, and I will be watching for that day. Because you are definitely going to make it, my darling, because you have very strong beliefs and convictions. So I want to thank you so much for being on my show. And please send me an autographed picture, Will Wheaton. I'm going to email you and give you my information or have Stephen Levine contact you, and thank you for that. Thank you so much for everything. Good luck to you. God bless you, and you are on the right track, and I cannot wait to see you on the red carpet or some damn carpet. I don't know, but I know there's going to be cameras, and I'll finally get to see what you look like, sweetie.
Thanks, Priscilla, and Sagittarius.
Oh, we're totally mating signs. I'm coming after you in the future. All right, darling. Take care. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Damian Dietz. Go to DamianDietz.com, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.